Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joel. Book of Joel tonight. And we are coming up to the beginning our missions month on Sunday. And we're excited about the speakers coming. Challenge our hearts. Joel. And the book of Joel is prophetic. In chapter 1 and 2, we see the day of the Lord is mentioned. And if you don't understand what the day of the Lord is, that's a tribulation. And things that are going to happen during the tribulation. And the time is short. When the tribulation, when we're out of here, we're out of here. And that's it for some people, especially those who have heard. But in Joel, I want to lift out one verse tonight, just sort of preparing us and getting us into perspective from the Old Testament. By the way, if you do not understand this, in the Old Testament, Israel was a witness. They were to witness. Do you understand that? God chose those people to be His people and for them to see God. I mean, Esther on Sunday we heard were some people for fear they became Jews, right?
Right.
And somebody asked me, said, well, they give these testimonies about when they got saved, and it's all drawn out, and you can almost hear symphony music behind them. I'm gonna tell you something. I mean, I when I got saved, I felt the fires of hell. And I said, I said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. So what do I have to do? What's the next step? You said, that doesn't sound too spiritual. Well, I'm saved.
Amen.
And I'm on my way to heaven. I got a reservation. My name is written down. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And so in the Old Testament, they were to be a witness. They were to be witnesses. And God saved people. God saved people. And God used, not only did He save people out of the Jewish nation, but some of those that He saved, God used them in the line for Christ. You know, the line for Christ is not all Jews. You understand that, don't you? And so in the book of Joel, I want to look at one verse. I want us to think about some things tonight. Very simply, I won't keep you long. But I want you to look at chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great." Now, Joel's prophecy has just one theme, and that was the call for harvesters. Yes, the day of the Lord is there. But he says, hey, he talks about the fields. He talks about corn. He talks about different things. He said, we need people to harvest. We need people to have a mind to harvest. We need people to work in the fields. By the way, the field is not in the pew. The field is not in the four walls of this church. By the way, I love when people ask people to come to church, but we need to invite them to Jesus first. Amen. I've seen people come to church that need to get saved and get turned off.
Wow.
Okay? But when they get turned on to Jesus, Jesus will lead them to the right church. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Or oh me. And so it says, and so we see, and one of the problems in the Christian work today is manpower. It's not a problem of the supply, but there's a problem of workers. There's not a problem of power, but there's a problem of workers. There's not a problem of the plan. Amen. But there's a problem with the power of workers. I should not, and I'm not going to, beg people to serve the Lord. I shouldn't. I shouldn't have to do that. I shouldn't have to beg you to invite people to church. I shouldn't have to beg you to pass out tracts. I shouldn't have to beg you to tell people about Jesus. That should be a natural progression of your salvation. If you're saved, you share. You are a witness. You are ambassadors. We are left here. God doesn't take us to heaven immediately after we're saved. but he leaves us here as a witness, amen. And so as we look at the Word of God here, there's an urgent, and Jesus in the Gospels, we see that there was an urgency. Paul in the Epistles and Peter and all through the New Testament, there is a urgency to win people to Christ. We know people that we tried to witness to. We all have regrets of people we should have witnessed to that pass off this life, and there's no recourse. There's no review. There's no rewind. It's over. And so we need to be witnessing to people. We need to share, and our conversation needs to be without personal conversation. It needs to be conversation about the best friend we know, and that's Jesus. And so we think about that, and we look at this, and we notice two things from this portion of Scripture. Number one, first of all, the harvest is ripe. I want to say some things because I want some things to be in your mind and remind me of these things tonight, that the harvest is ripe. Now, when the harvest is ripe, it's got to be picked. That vine or that tree has produced a fruit, and it needs to be picked before it's rotten, before it falls off. Amen. Right? Now I got to tell you something. Those tomatoes in the garden this year, I've had to learn something, and I got to tell you something. I read about tomatoes. I may get a PhD in tomatoes. But you have to, yeah, now, Marilyn, she wants green tomatoes. And I bring her a green tomato and she fries it and she shows me a picture of her fried green tomatoes. Okay? And she's in heaven with that. Me, I like that tomato red, and when you cut it, you have to have a towel under you because the juice is coming out. None of that stuff, that grainy orange stuff we get from the supermarket that's not a tomato. I mean, you might as well throw it, let the dog eat that thing, man, and the dog probably won't eat it. But you know, you got to pull the tomatoes off sometimes before they get to that ripening point because they'll split. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't pick something at the right time, it's not good. Now, I want you to understand, he says, I want to send you into the harvest. Do you understand the assumptions and the implication of the harvest? Do you understand that? Because I think our minds are not right concerning this thing of the harvest. The harvest is right. Let me just get you to understand one. The harvest is unrecognized except by the eye of faith. Now, what are you saying, preacher? To see the harvest, we need to open our eye. We don't even need to open our eyes, but we need to take a look. Now, I got a patio door I can pull back and look at my garden, okay? But until I get out there and go out there, and every time I go out there, I got to spray some bug spray on. We got bugs, man. I'm telling you, bugs. And Miss Creed sprays me and us everything, I've got this thing I wear in the woods. It's a thing that keeps mosquitoes away, and it's got a little CO2 cartridge you plug into it, and you hit it, and there's a little thing, and it smokes, and it keeps them away. And I'm out there trying the thing, and if I forget to, man, they eat me alive. They say, here comes a big old piece of fresh meat, man, and they zoom in. You can hear them coming like Pearl Harbor in Peach Court, and so. So I go out there, but I go out there and I look, and sometimes that good, real good one is hidden. You know, you gotta get in and look. You understand what I'm saying? But here, when I plant that little T90 seed and grow that little plant, and then I take it and transplant it to my garden, I have faith that's going to grow fruit. And when I see that fruit, I get excited all the time. Huh? Some of you have enjoyed some of that fruit. Let me just say something. You only see that the harvest is truly ripe if you take a look. Not just open your eyes, not take a glance, because we have to see people that, as souls. We have to see people as weighed between heaven and hell. We need to see people that today they may be here and tomorrow they may be in eternity. We have to take a look by faith. Our faith concerning the harvest is so important. Jesus Christ, he said the harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. We look at people as just a great crowd, but not as spiritual beings headed to heaven or hell. We've got to understand our faith. Some we see the golden grain that's gathered for eternity, but we got to understand we only see this with the eye of faith. We need to understand that we see the harvest. We see the possibility. Listen, the possibility you see in somebody should be that they could be going to heaven today as a result of the gospel. So it's by faith. I want you to notice, number two, the spiritual harvest is vast. It's vast. Turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 27. Matthew 9 and 27. I'm in 27. I was going to read 27:9. 9 and 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, what?
Have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. People are looking for mercy. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. What's he saying? He says, hey, listen, I know that we're months out from the true harvest. You know there's a planned harvest, right? But look on the harvest. It's already ripe unto harvest. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already on. What's he talking about? And you know, some of those guys were probably saying, I don't see any fields. It was the people that lady at the well, woman at the well, had led to the Lord, and she had picked the fruit. See, I want you to understand, the harvest doesn't depend on you, it depends on God. If you think people getting saved depends on you, you've missed the boat. God invites us to carry the gospel. And when we share the gospel, and so it is vast. There's people. Listen, it's a valuable harvest. It's a valuable harvest. There's many people that are perished. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The harvest is in danger. If it is not reaped soon, it will be lost. The harvest is ready and waiting to be gathered. Folks, I can't say this enough. It's ripe. It's ripe. God, we've got to get out of this mode of when things go wrong and gas goes up and groceries go up and things get tough people are ready to listen today more than they ever have been in their lives. And let me just say something. Don't you think for one minute that just because a person is steeped in a religion, you can't talk to them about the Lord? Paul showed up at the synagogue, as was his practice. He'd go into town and he'd reason with those people right there, those hard-headed Jews. He'd talk to the rabbis. He'd talk to the scribes. He'd talk to the Sadducees. He'd talk to the Pharisees. He didn't care. He was giving the gospel to them. And so we need to understand that the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. God gives the gospel. God also, really what God's doing, anybody ever go to a football game or a professional baseball game? Anybody ever buy a ticket to something and go see it? Huh? I used to like to go to I used to like, before Crossville, I used to like to go watch ice hockey in person. That is a blast. It's really fast moving. It's on TV, love it. And then I like my team that I take personal more than anything is the Baltimore Orioles, and I like to go to the Orioles game. I've been to some games and years when I was a kid. Some guys that they talk about, but when you go to a baseball game, or you go to maybe you've gone to a play or some, you know, maybe you're bent and you went to see the ballet, whatever. Anyhow, but you go and you pay that ticket and you're a spectator. Okay? And when you're a spectator, you see the performers. Are you with me? And you're watching the thing. That's about what we are when we talk to somebody about the Lord. We're spectators because the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God are doing the work. The harvest is ripe. Don't worry about them getting saved. Don't worry about them understanding. Give them the gospel. Give it to them right. And watch God work.
Amen.
Watch God work. It's great. Seeing people saved. And by the way, when you lead somebody to Christ, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. And don't count the people. Just understand you're gonna see them when you get to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And so the harvest is ripe. Let me say this. Notice what it says there in verse 13. It says, put ye in the sickle. What is it? What is it? Is the sickle we must yield to be effective harvesters? What is it? Now when you go to pull off a tomato, you all sick of tomato illustrations? Tough, I'm the preacher. So you can sit there and you can twist those suckers. Sometimes they just don't want to let go. And if you pull them too hard, you'll drop some other things and you'll drop some buds and everything. So I clip them. I take a pair of scissors in my pack, clip them. You know, you got to cut them off. The people that harvest grapes, they cut them with a knife. There's all kinds of different ways you harvest. And this is talking about a sickle. This is talking about the sickle. These people knew what, it's a sharp sickle. It had to be sharp, and it took somebody wielding that sickle. Let me give you a couple thoughts. There's a sickle, number one, there's the sickle of preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Now, we're all preachers of the gospel. We're all preachers of the gospel. By the way, those tracts that you get back there, read them. Read through them so when you talk to somebody and they call you back, you know what they're talking about. The gospel, the preaching the gospel. And I was having a conversation this week, but let me just say something. It's important that they understand that they're sinners, but they need to understand why they're sinners. You know, you're not a sinner because you committed sin. You didn't become a sinner when you committed sin. You were born with a sin nature. I mean, I never had to teach my kids to do wrong. It came natural. They acted like their mother's side all the time.
Amen, brother.
I'm just kidding, honey. I teach them to do right. Why? Sin nature. It all goes back to Adam. For as by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, sin singular, for that all have sinned. It's our nature. Well, what about Mother Teresa? Sinner. I mean, I know that's what people think. Well, you know, they were good. They were good. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. I mean, I go to Romans. I can give you an answer for all of it. Because the Bible has it. They need to understand why they're sinners. They need to understand what in their state, if they pass from this life in that state where they're going to spend eternity. And it's not a haunted house or the carnival. It's not at their mother-in-law's house. It's in hell. And hell was not prepared for you. It was prepared for Satan and his demons. Hell wasn't prepared for us. It's prepared for Satan and his angels. He is not willing that any should what? But that all should come to repentance. They need to understand that Christ died for their sins. The sins of the world. I heard a preacher say, you know, Jesus became a sinner for us. I mean, he had all the sins of the world. You think of we talk about sin, but do you understand that all the sins of the world were the wicked ones too? It's all wicked. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying that was on Jesus Christ? I mean, sins that we didn't know about until the 70s and 80s and things that people were doing. I mean, have you ever read about something you say, I can't believe somebody would do that?
Yes.
And you're sitting there saying, you're trying to wrap your mind around that? Well, Jesus knew and he died for that.
Amen. Yes, brother.
Right.
No wonder he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They need to know that he died and that he was buried on the cross. And don't leave out that he was buried and he rose again the third day. That's important. That's the gospel. And that they can believe. They need to believe. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? To believe that, Sharita, they got to understand, don't they? Have you ever been talking to somebody about the Lord and they look at you like a deer in the headlights? What do? You go back and review, just like we did every first week of school in English. 8 parts of speech. I hate them. Times tables. I hate them. Right? Over and over and over again. How many of you used 8 parts of speech? I murdered a King's English. God bless you. Holy Spirit translates it. Amen. So you think about that. We throw in the sickle of preaching the gospel and we tell them, you got to believe, and then you call on the Lord. How do you call on the Lord? Well, preacher, I don't know if I should lead them in the sinner's prayer. Well, if they don't know what to pray, give them an example. Well, they didn't say the same words that I said, so.
Right.
What did the thief on the cross say? Lord, remember me.
Wow.
I mean, if we start messing with that, I mean, it's precious when you say, okay, would you like to call on the Lord and tell him you believe that he died on the cross and rose again the third day for you, and you're a sinner and you're going to hell, but you want him to come into your heart. And people are intelligent enough to pray and remember that stuff.
Yeah.
I've led people in sinner's prayer and they said, Dear Lord, what I say next? And I said something like that. And they pray, what I say next? You said, did it get saved? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, who are we to tell God who to save and who to accept and who not? You understand what I'm saying? Amen. So give them the gospel. Give them the gospel and give them the opportunity. And then let me say this. There's a sickle of prayer. Don't forget to pray. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We need to pray for souls. Pray for people. And then I want you to know there's a sickle of persuasion. There's a sickle of persuasion. Let me just say, the thing about persuading somebody to be saved is this what we need to This is the thought here. It's a serious conversation. Huh? I don't know. This may be true or it may not be true, but some people share the gospel in a flippant way. This is serious. If you don't trust Christ as Savior and you have never trusted Him as personal Savior according to the Bible and call on Him, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you could die tonight without Christ. Now, I don't beg people. Here, I'll give you $20 if you get saved. $50 if you get baptized. And then come tithe on it. Amen, Arnold. This thing of the harvest, and I love this time of the year. This time of the year is harvest time around these areas, these parts, the corn, cutting the corn and the soybeans and all that. The harvest time and the leaves turn and all that turns. And this is my favorite time of the year. Fall's my favorite time of the year. Kids are back to school, out of our hair. Amen. And all this is going on, but listen. Year round is harvest time. I know that Sam Abbott walks around during the day sometimes with people in his family and friends down there in the Philippines, and he sees their faces and he knows that they need to be saved. I know he sees the map and sees towns that don't have churches. It's all over the world. But we've got to do our part in this area. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for your word. May we be the witnesses we need to be. May we have the faith. May we see that the harvest is ripe. May we use the sickle of the gospel, the sickle of prayer, the sickle of persuasion. And Lord, bring to mind right now some people that we need to share the gospel with. Lord, we pray for them, and some people we've prayed for, and we know that you're working through those prayers, and you may get them to the place that they need to talk. Help us to be ready. For those tracts we pass out, may the Holy Spirit use those and use the gospel in those tracts. May we see people, and may when we're talking to everybody we see during the day or talk to, may our hearts, Holy Spirit, may you remind us they need Jesus. And bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, you come. Let's get Usher up here. Tim, come on up here and get the plate. And let's give as the Lord directs. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All righty. Well, be here Sunday. Invite somebody. Invite somebody. Be here Sunday school. Be here for Sunday school at 10. 10 o'clock. We'll have the sandwiches. If you have any questions, ask Miss Creed. See Miss Creed. And also, we'll have our speaker here. And so looking forward to this month, and just trust the Lord for a great time in during our missions month. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to be dismissed. Good to see you. Everybody's busy and tired. Go home and rest well. Sleep on purpose. Amen? Sleep on purpose. Let's close in prayer. Thank the Lord for the day. Chris, reach out. Get out there and pray for us, would you?